Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We welcome in the play-by-play voice here, Cleveland Browns. Jim Donovan joins us on the show on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
All right, I'm going to get to the Browns and everything, but what did you think of that last night? That was nuts.
That really was. I have to tell you, you learn that you never pick against Tom Brady. There's no doubt about it. He is made for that particular game, and he's done it all. I mean, there's no argument about who is the greatest of all time by watching him play. It was just amazing. And I think really, as you go into the game and kind of open it up and take a look at it inside what happened. I mean, those injuries to that offensive line for Kansas City, Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher being out, two tackles being out, that was going to be a real problem. Although a lot of people thought that Kansas City could get around that because of the mobility of Patrick Mahomes, but he was not able to get away from that. And they were just allowed to really wreak a lot of havoc defensively. So, you know, to say to Todd Bowles, he did a great job, I think. But Tom Brady was just amazing once again. And it really wasn't a game of Godwin and Mike Evans. It was a game of Gronkowski and Antonio Brown. It's just it's amazing how they put that whole thing together and how they get on that great run right at the end of the year.
How important is coaching in the NFL, Jim? Just because I don't think Tom Brady is the litmus test for that, but Bruce Arians was known as a good coach, but now he's going to go to a different stratosphere because of Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think that there's so many different levels of it, Ken. I mean, I think Bruce Arians is a guy that, especially with quarterbacks, and my goodness, he's had great ones, whether he was a quarterback coach or an offensive coordinator and now is a head coach. I mean, the list of people that he's had to work with is just amazing. So, but I think what he does is he allows them to play. So that's a certain way of coaching. It's a style of coaching that really works for him. And I think that's why so many players really hook onto him and they love playing for him. And I can remember when he was the offensive coordinator here in Cleveland, guys loved playing for him. It was a very unpopular decision when Butch Davis decided to cut the cord and release him as the offensive coordinator. And then he ends up in Pittsburgh and has big years over there. So I think it's the style of coaching. Do you allow, really great players just to do their thing? Or do you have a guy that really needs to coach, and he's all over his team? I mean, I think it depends on what your roster is, how old the roster is, and really, how you can get the feel of the football team and what's going to work. But he really has a great touch, certainly with quarterbacks.
Jim, obviously, we are ecstatic about where the Browns are, that we're going to have Stefanski in year two. But because it's Sports Talk Radio, we like to play the what-if game. And we remember how high-profile Bruce Arians was a few years ago, doing every interview in Cleveland he could to tell people the Browns, the only job he would come back to. Now, I don't know if you get Todd Bowles. I don't know if you get Byron Leftwich. I think you probably have Freddie Kitchens. I don't think you get Tom Brady. What would that look like here?
Well, I can tell you this, Anthony. He always wanted the job here. And even I know the last time around when he was doing the games for CBS and he was kind of sniffing around the NFL landscape as to what job was going to be open. Certainly with all of those high draft choices and all of that cap room at the time, he really liked this one. But I have to tell you, I can remember being on the field with Doug Geekin before a Browns-Steelers game when he was over in Pittsburgh, And it was very evident that the Browns are going to make a coaching change in the offseason, which was coming up in like a week, if not the next day when we were talking to him. And he was very open about, hey, listen, I really want this job over here. I mean, he always really wanted this job here in Cleveland. He liked it here when he was here. The whole fan thing really resonated very strongly with him. He would have been a great fit. There's no doubt about it here because he understood the market. He understood the tradition. All of those important things that I think Kevin Stefanski has embraced and done so well. But I'm telling you, he really always had his eyes on Cleveland because of the time that he had here in the past. And I really believe it would have been a very workable situation here with him. I just think he's got a great touch, and I think players love playing for him. I think he's that kind of a coach. I mean, he can be a little gruff sometimes, but I think he always knows the right time to be a little surly with his team. And I think then he knows when to pull it back. And I think the team understands that too. So it would have been a good fit at any time.
Jim Donovan joining us on the hotline, wrapping up the football season. It's sad to see it end, but so there are a lot of good things for Browns fans knowing that, hey, you've got a really good offensive line, not what the Chiefs had last night. You know, Baker continues to be on the upswing, maybe not as good as Mahomes, but certainly on the upswing. What are some of the takeaways as you watched those two teams last night? How far off are the Browns from reaching that game?
Yeah, I gotta tell you, Anthony, I'm gonna go back a couple of weeks ago when they were playing the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium in the divisional round. When Carl Joseph picked that pass off with a little over 8 minutes left to go in the game, they're gonna get the ball. The difference is 5 points. I'm saying to myself, they're gonna win this game. I mean, the way they were playing at that particular moment, they had gone in for a couple of scores, and just the way they had played all year, that they were not intimidated at all, that they could come back, all really good things when you're taking that next step to becoming an elite team in the NFL. I really believed all the stars were aligning. They've done this before, and they're going to do it again here in the next 8 minutes, and we're going to be playing Buffalo the following week. So I really believe going into this offseason now, there are so many positives for them, and more so offensively than defensively, but I think that was the plan anyway in the grand scheme of things, that they were going to load up offensively in the offseason last year, see how it plays out this year, and it obviously played out very well, and then attack the defense, you know, in this offseason and build it that way. And so I think they're right on schedule, probably, you know, I think in a lot of people's eyes, maybe ahead of schedule. And, you know, I think everybody should be very excited. I think the quarterback situation looks great. I think the fact that he grew as the season went along is only going to tell you that he's even going to grow more because he's going to be in the same system. They're young in a lot of good spots. I think they tinker with that defense now, and they will be a much more complete team.
Jim Donovan joining us on the show. You know, Jim, we started to talk about it earlier in the show, and then we got, you know, we got sidetracked with the halftime show and Brady and everything like that. When you look at the Browns in 2021, I mean, they're 20-1 odds to win the Super Bowl. You got the Ravens there, you got the Bills there, you got the Chiefs back. How much pressure is on the Browns? Is this like 2019 at all going into 2021 with the amount of pressure?
Well, it's a little bit I think it's different because they did make it to the playoffs. They did win a playoff game. The other thing was kind of wrapped up in dreams. I mean, it was a little bit of fantasy, and it was exciting because you were putting names in slots on a depth chart, and you were saying, you know, predicting the best without any evidence. And, I mean, you know, that goes for OBJ and how it was going to work with Landry and how the whole Freddie Kitchens thing was going to work and the Kareem Hunt thing along with Nick Chubb. But now we've seen it, and we've seen how it's played out, and it looks really, really good. But there is a, you know, still there are things that are going to have to be done. For instance, when I say that they're going to have to come up defensively and kind of fortify that and strengthen that defense, and they're also going to have to come up with a plan. How are they going to deal with Lamar Jackson for the next few years? And let's just talk next year, because you play him twice a year, and that's a real problem. So defensively, you're going to have to address that because he lives in your division. Maybe you've taken care of some of the problems that you've had in the past with Pittsburgh because you finally knocked them off in big games at the end of the year, and definitely the last one being the biggest And maybe they are getting, you know, older in the tooth, and there's a lot of disarray over there with so many guys being free agents and the Roethlisberger situation being kind of up in the air. But I think that there's enough evidence here that you can say, hey, listen, it's not like it's a lengthy list of things that have to be done. And there's evidence that we are well along the road to being able to play with anybody in the NFL right now. And that's a really good feeling, but now you have to go out and just kind of tweak it and make it better and then really continue to carry on. I just don't think that you really, and nobody wants this. Nobody wants to take a step back. And I think that that's the next big thing now. You just want to keep taking the steps forward and be a little bit better, kind of like Buffalo's been going along, you know. Buffalo is good, and then they're a little bit better, and they're a little bit better again this year, and now they're at the point next year probably where they say, hey, listen, we should go to the Super Bowl. I think the Browns are on that time schedule right now.
You know what I love, Jim, that this team doesn't have anything around them, any kind of controversy that could be starting to build, no one looking over their shoulder, everybody at ease. Right now, how many off seasons have we had like that since 99, where outside of what, Njoku, and who knows what's going to happen there again? I know he was on the right. Jim Rome show. We have some clips from there last week where he may have intimated that he didn't love his situation here this year. But outside mm-hmm. of that, okay, what, Odell Beckham coming back to me? That could be a really good thing. I don't think that's a controversial thing. It just seems like this is an off season that we can all fall in love with.
No doubt about it. You're exactly right. And the Njoku situation's been going on now for a while, so we've all learned to live with it, and whatever happens will happen there. It will play itself out. I don't think it's crippling one way or the other. You know, and the OBJ thing is intriguing. Yeah, I mean, it's an added plus. It really is. That will be, you know, that's going to be very interesting to watch because it's really a situation now where he's going to have to be a part of the team. The team isn't going to have to be a part of him. I mean, really, I mean, there's enough that they survived and flourished with without him that, you know, he's going to have to come in and fit in. He's going to fit into the offense if it's all going to work, rather than the offense going to have to fit in all around him. And I think that's a much healthier situation than the one that we've gone into, certainly in the year when he was traded here. But you're right. It's a terrific offseason. It's a peaceful offseason. But again, I don't get the impression that it's an off-season, Anthony, that they're going to sit back on and say, hey, we won 11 games. That's great. We just roll it out again next year, and we see how it goes. I think that they realize there's work to be done, and if you want to be specific, defensively would be the way that you would look, and that's where the arrow points to, that they're going to get the work done. And I think that they are a nose-to-the-grindstone organization right now, that they've gotten a sniff of this, and it's really good. And they've seen the reaction to this market and this fan base, and it's unbelievable. And that was during a pandemic, and that just keeps them the engine running that they want to get better. So it's a great offseason for them and a great offseason for us to watch what they're going to do because they did so well with it last year when it was kind of unexpected.
Nick Chubb, probably my favorite Cleveland Brown, definitely my favorite Cleveland Brown. There's no probably about
mine
it.
Mine too, Ken.
This contract situation, it ain't going away. How do you think this thing's going to play out?
Well, I think that, you know, I certainly don't want to, you know, I don't want to think about a, you know, a contract problem with him. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to think about the football team being without him. There are so many things that he does so well and that I think players take a look at the way he plays and the way he acts while he's playing. He's just so professional at such an early stage in his NFL career that it's incredible to watch, and you want him in your locker room, and you want him around your players, and you want him, you know, just being Nick Chubb, the player that he is. So I would make whatever effort I can to get that thing done and get him in and get him signed, sealed, and running the football for you because I think he's really that important. It's amazing, you know, Ken, when you talk to people during the week who are opposing the Browns on that particular Sunday, they always single him out. I mean, sure, they talk about Mayfield, and yes, they talk about Myles Garrett, but they talk about Nick Chubb in a different way. They talk about him with great admiration, about how they would love to have him, about what a great football player he is, and how they take a look inside the film, and they see things that, you know, really other people just don't see it. We can get wrapped up in yardage and if he gets over 1,000 yards and how he doesn't spike the football when, you know, when he scores the touchdown, he just tosses it to the referee. We can get wrapped up in that. But people around football see even more in how he plays. And when you have a player like that, you cannot let that kind of a player slip away over dollars and cents.
I'm curious, one final thing for me, Jim, on this offseason and just how aggressive you think these guys will be, because when you hear analytics, you hear about all they're going to care about is value. It's just a business. They're not going to worry about certain things. Do you think they're going to go crazy with the free agency money that they do have, knowing this could be the last year to really have a ton of money to spend?
Well, I think that you have to take a look at it and say, you know, what do you need? What's the shopping list? What's the price going to be for those particular players that would fit that mold? So if you said to yourself, well, listen, Olivier Vernon, bad injuries, a lot of money, a little bit longer in the tooth now as far as career, we need a pass rusher on the other side of Myles Garrett, and we want to get a guy that can do it right now. I mean, it would be nice to develop a young pass rusher, and maybe we can do that, but we're good enough right now that we really definitely need to address that, because when Vernon was playing well at the end of the year, you could really see the effects on opposing offenses when you had that kind of, you know, dual threat of Garrett and Vernon and that 1-2 punch on pass rush. So is pass rush going to cost you a lot of money, you know, to get one of the elite guys? Probably, but if that's going to push you over the threshold to becoming a team that really can get to the quarterback and get off the field defensively on third down. And I think if you zero and boil down on one thing defensively, their inability and their struggle at times to get off the field on third down is really something that they're going to have to improve on and solve. And that will make them a better defense right out of the get-go, is if they're able to do that. So I would think that if they can identify players that can immediately come in and fit in and just make that defense better right away, then, yeah, I think that they would spend the money and go get it, you know, analytics or just common sense or a competitive spirit, throw it all in there and say, hey, let's go. Now's the time. They're a now football team rather than a football team, I think, that is saying, hey, listen, we're okay. And in 2 years, we're going to be even better. We'll be really mature. We'll be talent ready to go. I think that they're a now team right now.
I agree. I totally agree. It's part of the reason why I kind of want to, you know, when people start to talk about J.J. Watt, I go, okay, let me pound the table for J.J. Watt. Now, I know there's the whole Olivier Vernon situation coming back, but I'm kind of like, okay, let's go out and get him. Let's go out and get some of these guys here. So
right.
I know I got to calm myself down. I got one more for you. This is very weird. I've talked with you about radio a lot, you know, when we could all see each other out at camp and things like that. I don't know what you listen to, and this is the reason I want, because there were so many different opinions on the weekend and the halftime show performance, and I'm like, I never really listened to the weekend. I didn't think it was that bad. I didn't think it was overwhelmingly great. What do you listen to other than, like, sports talk radio and things like that? What music does Jim Donovan turn to?
Gosh, I'm not a – I really have become – because of our life right now and that we're horse owners and we're just kind of married to it. I listen to a lot of country music. We're really big country music people. And I listen to a lot of, I listen to a lot of politics on the radio. I listen to a lot of those type of shows. And you know what I do actually, but it kind of goes back to the sports thing, is I listen to every play-by-play announcer that I possibly can. In the NFL, I will go back and listen to – in fact, last night I went back after the game and I listened to the entire Chiefs game on the Chiefs radio network just to hear how those guys sound, how they do it. So I really do. I go back and, you know, I might go tonight and I'll listen to Gene Deckerhoff call the game for Tampa, and I'll go back and pick another game and listen to those games just to kind of hear – how do they handle things in a certain situation, in a big game? And that's kind of I run the gamut that way. I do listen to a lot, Ken. I really do.
I love that. I absolutely love it. Jim, I can't thank you enough for the time. All the best here, and hopefully we'll talk to you again very soon.
Absolutely. Have a good time. Have a great week, guys.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Jim Donovan joining us here on the show.
Yeah, I bet you. I know for a fact Jim went back and watched a couple of Akron ESPN 3 games this year because all the talk had surrounded the great broadcast crews that had done those games.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I thought you were serious for a second. I was like, man.
Listen to those Super Spreader events. You know,
I gotta.
Hey, wait a second.
Yes. Yeah. Tell me he's wrong. He's wrong.
You said it.
Yeah, you did say it.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.